And welcome to the Rich Neil Show. Rich Neil, glad we be back. And we got a really great show today. Interesting topic coming up. Now, we're going to turn the way back machine on. And we're going to go back to the 1980s. And we're going to discuss the Cold War. But it's not the Cold War you're thinking about. It's not the Cold War between Russia and the United States. This is the Cold War between Coca-Cola and Pepsi. It's the Cold Cola Wars, next on The Rich Neil Show. With the Rich Neil Show. My guest today is Mr. TJ Jolly. And he had survived the Cola Cold Wars as a store manager right during the height when all this was going on, which is the lower part of the 80s going into the middle part of the 80s. And growing up in the 80s around that time was, well, it was crazy. So let's bring Mr. Jolly on and let's talk to him and let's have some fun talking about the Cola Wars here. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. TJ Jolly.
Hey.
Jolly, how are you, sir?
Rich,
how you doing?
It's good to be here. How are you?
Man, I'm outstanding. And you know, I watched a documentary the other day about the 80s. And it was so funny because besides the political atmosphere that was going on, the music scene probably pretty much ruled the 1980s. I mean, that's the birth of MTV. And you had so many genres of music you're talking about from the early 80s, from breakdancing to the birth of hip hop, going into your pop rock and all these incredible British rock, another British invasion. It was just an incredible decade, but a lot of talk during that time was the Cola Wars. I mean, it was an intense battle between these two companies.
It pretty much always has been, but it came to a head in the 80s. Money, 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 and boy, were they at each other's throats.
That's serious, because the advertisement was insane. I remember, because Pepsi pretty much had the market on advertising during the spring and the summer. They would launch these mass ad campaigns about the new generation. And they would, Pepsi, the new generation, but they had a lot of celebrity endorsements. You know, Michael Jackson was a big one.
Yeah, big name talent coming in on the Pepsi side, dude. Let me tell you.
And Coca-Cola, not so much, but until the holidays rolled around, Pepsi couldn't hold a torch to Coca-Cola during the holidays. The massive Christmas campaign from Coke was just epic.
Who created Santa, the Santa that we know today? Where did it come from?
Well, that was Coca-Cola who hired a German artist. I think his name was Saldham, but he was the first one to paint Santa Claus in 1916, I think, for Coca-Cola. And like you said, I mean, that's where we first get Santa. Coca-Cola pretty much had the rights until the Saturday Evening Post came along and got Norman Rockwell in the early 1900s to do his version of Santa for the Saturday Evening Post.
The other big one that Coca-Cola had on their side was the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
There were a lot of big-name football players doing the refreshing Coke commercials and, I mean, big names.
Yeah, that was – oh, man. Yeah, that was another one. The NFL was big on those, too. But now, going – really getting into the height of that, when you are a store manager, and I remember vaguely, and, you know, I'm trying to turn my memory on, my factual memory on, but I do remember a couple of news articles from the, I think it was from the Angleton Times, which I couldn't go back and research because they're no longer in existence. But I do remember them talking about a physical altercation between a Coca-Cola driver and a Pepsi driver delivering at the same time. And it was what they coined the phrase of the NCAP war in a particular store chain. Do you remember anything about those?
They actually had several incidences between the delivery drivers and the reps that came by and took the orders before the drivers came by. And they would literally sabotage each other's displays.
Like, are you serious?
Yes.
They would sabotage it.
Yes. When I was in San Antonio and I was working in the convenience store business, managing there, they literally, if you didn't watch them, when they went back in the coolers to check their stock, they would unload the shelves. They would, if it was the Pepsi guy, he would look and all the Coke would be stocked. He'd take half of it out and put it back in the cases, because then we would run out of the shelf and people would take the Pepsi instead. And, I'd like to say I'm joking about this, but there were spies, espionage. I mean, this is, when you said Cold War, you're not joking. You're talking Russia and America here between Coke and Pepsi. You know, when you think of it, one's from Georgia, the other's from North Carolina. Pepsi started in North Carolina, you know, and of course, Atlanta's been the home for Coca-Cola since basically the
day one
war when they started. But they would do all kinds of crazy ass shit. Now, a lot of people don't realize this, but the location you see stuff in a cooler in a convenience store, those doors are sold. So when you walk into a cooler and the first door you come across, and like especially in your major chains, the reason that is the first thing you see is because that company pays money to the other company to get that door. I mean, literally, that's how big of important this is. So they would come in, Coca-Cola would come in and say, no, we want the door at the end of the aisle. We want when people walk down the aisle that we're the first thing they see. So they would say, we'll pay you $1,000 a month just so we can have that door.
Wow.
The convenience store industry started going, hey, that's a few more bucks in our pocket. We'll sell the doors. And they do. And then who gets what end cap? They basically vie for it.
And that was the story I was trying to remember, because it was the police were called. This was an all-out brawl fighting over an end cap. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it was either a 7-Eleven or a Stop and Go, but they actually got into a big time brawl. There was police and ambulance, and you know, charges were filed. It was completely insane, and the companies paid for the legal reps for those guys that were fighting. It was crazy. It was insane.
To see the stuff that they would do. Now, most of your major chain stores, literally during that time period, would set their deliveries between those companies on different days.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would tell them, Pepsi, your delivery is going to be on Tuesday. Coke, yours is on Thursday. Like they literally had days that they could deliver because they had to keep them Not well, they had the same thing a little bit in the beer industry, the alcohol at the time, but not as bad between Miller and Bud. But it wasn't anything like the Cola Wars.
You would think that that would be more of an intense, you had Bush, you had Miller, and, those guys fighting over, slots and stuff. But they took a backseat to the cola industry.
Oh, yeah. Well, when you think about it, I mean, the beer industry in the United States, trust me, is a billion-dollar industry. But you have a very narrow margin of market. You can't sell the beer to the under 21 crowd, but that's nobody right. says you can stop sodas.
There's a lot more at stake in that market.
A lot more dollars in some aspects. Now, most people don't grab a six pack of Coke and go home and drink it for the night, where a few people might grab a six pack of Miller and go home and drink.
Well, I drank a lot of, I was a Coke guy when it came to the battle between the two. I fell on the side of Coca-Cola. But it was amazing on how the divisive that was. If you were a Pepsi person, you would get mean looks from a cola person, a Coke person. And I grew up in the South, as you did, and it's amazing that every soft drink was a Coke. If you remember, going to the store, hey, what kind of Coke do you want? Pepsi, okay. everything was a Coke. Everything was called Coke. What kind of Coke do you want?
Everybody goes and makes a Xerox copy.
Yeah.
We got programmed into something, and Pepsi mm-hmm. was not as prevalent in the South in the 70s. It was more of a Northeast, kind of soda. And Coca-Cola owned the South. I mean, from Atlanta to California, definitely. They owned the South.
they ran that gambit for a while, but you got to give props though to Pepsi when they started their new generation campaign. They started about the right time, because Coca-Cola that's a weird company to begin with. I mean, you had during World War II a bottling company in Germany. Coca-Cola actually bottled their sodas in Nazi Germany because the Germans wanted their Coca-Cola and the Allies wanted it. And allies were getting their Coca-Cola from Nazi Germany.
Coca-Cola used to take trailers with Coke to the Nazi youth parades. That picture of the Nazi youth. Now, because of World War II and the German and the whole thing is where you get Fanta.
Yes,
Fanta,
that's right,
because
that's right.
The blockade between the United States and Germany, the Germans no longer could get the syrup from America. So they came in, their Coca-Cola bottling in Germany came up with Fanta, and actually Fanta was originally created from almost trash. I mean, like, they used apples that had been pressed for cider in the original creation of Fanta. And that's kind of where it came from. I mean, you look at all of it over the years. So when Nixon was president, the president of Pepsi was a friend of Nixon's, and Coca-Cola didn't want anything to do with Russia at the time because, we're talking the real Cold War.
The other Cold War.
Yeah, the real Cold War. And Nixon brought Pepsi into Russia, and Russia signed an exclusive agreement to only sell Pepsi for years. Coca-Cola couldn't get its foot. Well,
couldn't get in there.
Coca-Cola got pissed off, so they went into China.
Mm-hmm.
And they set it up, and there was only one little province in China that wasn't controlled by Coke. And somebody called Coca-Cola, their China division, and said, hey, Pepsi's talking to them. You're going to get Pepsi in that little province in China. And Coca-Cola spent 7 hard days working with that province to keep Pepsi out of China. I mean,
it's like keeping troops out of there. You're talking about soft drink.
Yes.
And it's like people don't understand when you drink a soda, the history behind those sodas is almost as prevalent as any type of world history or any history of a country. It's just that intense.
And they took it super, super serious. When I said spies earlier, that wasn't a joke. That wasn't a reference to some little minor thing. I mean, we're talking full-blown spies checking in on each other. You could talk. I've seen a special. It's been a long time ago, but there was a special on the Cola Wars. Actually, there's multiple. But this one was really entertaining because it talks to a couple of like 60-something-year-old men who one worked for Pepsi and one worked for Coke. And they tell you that they got up every morning knowing they were going to spy on that other company. That's what their jobs were. Their job was to find out what they're doing. Who's their sugar supplier? Who's giving them this? How are they getting that? How are they getting their bottling? we're talking ammunition and machinery.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were Coke guys working on the inside with Pepsi just to get some of that information.
They were doing working it both
in their
sides.
Bottling companies. Yeah, I mean, getting paid by both companies. And which brings us to, let's talk about now 1985. This was a very pivotal time between, it's the middle of the decade, but the Cola Wars was fixing to really come to a climax here. And Coca-Cola stocks were not doing real well. The Pepsi generation, Michael Jackson endorsement, which was huge, and it was really coming around. Coke even took the rebel route. I remember that Pepsi came out with this Pepsi One diet drink, and Cola rebelled and said, oh yeah, well, we're going to come out with Jolt Cola, which twice the caffeine, twice the sugar, and that was their answer to Pepsi's diet drink. Well, we're going to go to the extreme on the other side of that. And a lot of people don't know, and a lot of kids today would freak out to know that in our school, growing up, there were soda machines in the hallways. They were in the lunchroom. You had a soda for lunch, and there was a fight over that market too, and so that was crazy. But Coca-Cola said, you know what, we need to, and now, there are rumors on how this happened. You can subscribe to one magazine or the other, but one of the theories is that Coca-Cola wanted to boost their sales. And I'm curious to get your opinion about this. So the theory is Coca-Cola hired this I guess he was like an advertising genius, and I can't remember from what company he came from, but he came in and examined Coca-Cola sales and looked at their numbers, and he said, you know what, the best thing for you to do is just take Coca-Cola off the shelf. And they're like, what are you talking about? Well, Pepsi's kicking your ass right now, so won't you just take Coca-Cola away? Put out a new product, put one out that sucks, people will throw a fit about it, they'll go absolutely insane, and then you'll bring the old stuff back to a big fanfare, and you'll watch your stocks just skyrocket. Now, that was one theory. The other theory was, according to Coca-Cola, was, oh no, we just decided to take Coke in a new direction, and we come out with new Coke, and because we we were under the impression that we have improved the flavor. You know, you're talking about a drink that's been around for over 100 years at that time.
Oh, yeah.
So in your opinion, do you think that it was on purpose? Because the reason why I follow kind of the theory side of that is if you're not sure how that new product is going to go, you don't cancel the old one. You introduce the new one with the old, and you see which sales are better. And that way, if the new one flops, you still got the old stuff there. But Coca-Cola didn't do that. They just cut the classic stuff off and then threw the new one with this massive ad campaign with this new Coke out there. And it failed miserably.
Yes, so it did.
Was that on purpose, Tim? Was that on purpose? Or
you know,
did Coke really screw up that bad?
There's several things. Another aversion, actually, even, is that in the 80s, at towards the end of the Pepsi challenge, they say, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll get on that one in a minute.
Yeah, well, definitely.
But in the 80s, as the Pepsi challenge was more or less coming towards its conclusion, you know, because you mm-hmm. can't beat a dead
horse. Ran its course.
Yeah, exactly. So they say, and this is you know, the one with the air quotation marks on either end of it.
The deep soda state.
Right, exactly. they say that it within Coca-Cola, they tested their own people and they chose Pepsi 2 out of 3 times. So that Coke was supposed to be closer to Pepsi because mm-hmm. even their own employees were thinking Pepsi was better. Okay, so that's one. Mm-hmm. Number two, the one you're talking about with the introduction of the new Coke and the Coca-Cola products not moving like they used to, that was one of the ones we heard the most common when I was working mm-hmm. for the convenience stores in San Antonio, is that we would only, okay, so normally they would come in and say, okay, you need 6 cases of this version and 6 cases of the, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they started coming in and we only needed 2 cases of this and 2 cases of this. And so the numbers were going down. So they had millions of product spread out across all their stores, the convenient industry, the, mm-hmm. you know, the grocery store industry, and they needed that cash flow back. So with the invention of New Coke, there was a buying frenzy. Literally. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were coming into stores and hoarding because they had been told it was coming. And it was mm-hmm. that was probably one of their saving graces over the new Coke, is that they told everybody it was coming. So mm-hmm. people came in droves. I mean, I was managing a store at the time, and I had to tell my employees, quit hiding it and selling it for double the price. I catch you and I'll fire you.
You're telling me that some employees, I can see that they had a black market going on there.
Yes, they did.
Hey, meet me around back.
We had people coming into the store in tears, needing Coke, needing the original Coke, not this, you know, they had to have it before it disappeared. And so we had people coming in saying, dude, look, man, I get paid Friday. You keep me a case of Coke, I'll pay you $30. That's like, dude, I can't do this. I'm not gonna turn into a pimp on the side of the road pushing my Coke.
But, yeah, you could have been the biggest Coke dealer in
yeah, exactly. In the 1980s. Oh, I'm stealing Coke like crazy.
TJ Jolly, he's a Coke dealer, man. You gotta go see him, man. He'll hook you up, man.
This is not, at the time it wasn't funny. I mean, these people were crying. These people were in dire need.
Were they calling your store?
Oh, hell yes.
Reservations, trying to take like,
well, they were calling and they were asking questions like, are y'all still getting the original Coke? Are they still bringing it in? Do you have any left? How much do you have? You know, I'm over here in South San Antonio. I'll drive up there. You know, at the time, you're just kind of going, what? But I mean, as far as that aspect, oh my God, it must have made Coca-Cola this incredible fortune, because mm-hmm. everything flew off the shelves. I mean, people were going to the back of grocery stores, excuse me, with dust mops, mm-hmm. cleaning off stuff that's been back there for 2 years because they wanted to buy it. Oh. They had to have that original Coke. And they were going insane to get it. So that's one thing we were hearing. So we heard, oh, the Pepsi challenge finally got Coke. Coke's going to make a change. You know, then we heard, oh, they're doing this. And so they're trying to get their money straightened out. So they're going to bring in this new one and teach everybody, you know, hey, look, you want Pepsi. We'll give you something closer to Pepsi and we'll wait for you to all to scream and then we'll bring it back and we're going to make a mint. You know, so there were various options of, so even if you watch the Cola War specials, mm-hmm. you still watch some of them and you go, wait a minute, they got three different versions of the same thing on one.
Well, and that's the thing, because you have to think about it this way now. One, if it doesn't make, like I said, it doesn't make any sense. You have an unproven product that you're going to throw out to the public, and you're taking a landmark product completely out. Now, if you get caught as a company, I'm no big time corporate lawyer, but it would almost seem to me that even the securities exchange, wouldn't that's almost manipulating the stock market, because
it was, and
I remember that was brought up, and there was actually some investigation going on at like Coca-Cola, because when they did that, when they pulled Classic Coke, now they did pre-announce it. They let people hang for a little while because they did that big push for New Coke, and then finally someone came up and said, well, what are you doing with the regular Coke? Are you still, oh no, we're getting rid of it. And then people started, that's when people started going, and there was runs on stores. It was kind of like recently, like the, you know, the toilet paper
yeah.
for the COVID-19.
Yes, but exactly.
This was for real running out, though. This was for real running out. And it wasn't coming back. Coca-Cola says, we're done with the old formula. Here's the new stuff, and it's coming out. And that stuff was nasty. That new Coke was nasty. That's just all there was to it.
It was Coca-Cola's version of Pepsi is what it was.
It was.
You
it
know, was. And Coca-Cola and Pepsi's taste is, I mean, has always been very different. That's why they've mm-hmm. coexisted with one another. And to be honest with you, I don't think one nowadays could exist without the other, because you have those two markets. Now, the Cola War today. No, go ahead.
No, well, what I'm saying is that almost happened. The owner of Pepsi back in the 20s, I want to say, Pepsi, the Pepsi Cola company, actually was pretty much done with the company and went to Coca-Cola and say, hey, you want to buy it? And Coke just laughed at him and said, you know, no, we're not interested in, you know, pretty laughed him out of the office. And that made him mad. And then he said, oh, okay, we won't play that game then. And, then that's when he started, you know what, I'm gonna push this thing, got some investors, and the rest is history, made this big comeback. But yeah, Coca-Cola could have took them out. They had that option. Same thing with Blockbuster and Netflix, you know, they
yeah.
could. Well, same thing.
And one of the interesting things is I think Pepsi actually made three offers to sell to Coke. There were multiple yeah. offers to sell to Coke, and mm-hmm. Coke turned them down each time. And, you know, nowadays, that Coca-Cola war, that Cold War that we've been watching, and I say Coca-Cola war, the Cola war,
yeah, mm-hmm.
has progressed. And now it's into the restaurant industry. Mm, and now yeah. it's exclusivity.
Mm, always, okay? Yeah.
So I didn't know this until not too long ago. Do you know that Coca-Cola has its own branch within Coca-Cola for McDonald's?
You know, I can believe that because for some reason, you know that there are certain restaurants and certain fast food chains that just have that mixture down just right. If you buy a fountain Coke from McDonald's, it is way much better than anybody else. Yeah. It's kind of like Dr. Pepper. You want a really good Dr. Pepper, you go to Chewy's. For some reason, Chewy's, who is exclusive to Dr. Pepper, one of the only few exclusive to Dr. Pepper, they can make a mean fountain Dr. Pepper.
Chewy's is a Texas right. brand. Dr. Exactly. Pepper is originally a Texas brand. So
there you go.
They're both kind of in that little relation there. But I found out that part of the division of Coca-Cola for McDonald's, part of their deal with McDonald's is they cannot sell Coca-Cola bag in the box, basically, cheaper to any other restaurant than they sell to McDonald's. So if Jack in the Box wants to do a deal with Coca-Cola, if they're selling a bag in a box, say $4 to McDonald's, they can't sell it for $3.50 to Jack in the Box.
They can't be undersold.
Exactly. Oh, okay. So that's how they keep that little bit. Now, see, Pepsi went to the extreme. Pepsi just went and bought the restaurants.
They just bought the chain. Yes. They bought like several chains.
Yes.
Pizza Hut, Taco Bell.
When I worked for Pizza Hut back in the 70s, okay, we're talking the late 70s going into the 80s. I worked for Pizza Hut in Angleton. And I remember one day the Coca-Cola guy showing up and he's doing a whole bunch of stuff and he's basically just ripping the soda fountain out of the wall. And I'm like looking at him like, what the hell is he doing?
What the hell, dude?
You know, I mean, I've seen you work on this a million times. I've never seen you just rip it out of the wall. But literally, it was right after Pepsi bought Pizza Hut. And every Pizza Hut had a week to get everything turned over to nothing.
Get that damn Coca-Cola out of there.
Yeah, and that's not an exaggeration. I mean, this is real. You better get that shit out of our stores. And literally, Coca-Cola was in every Pizza Hut in a week, pulling all their soda fountains out, and Pepsi was right behind them, putting them in. Sometimes the same day. So that they didn't have to not have soft drinks. But literally, we were sent new within, you know, 10 days. And the new menus no longer had Coca-Cola logos in the menu. They now had Pepsi logos, you know, and everything said Pepsi. And, you know, and then they went on, like you said, Taco Bell, KFC. Those are all, if you ever see a delivery truck, they'll have the logos on the back.
It'll
tell you.
Definitely. And then they do that now.
Yeah. And then it has like Pizza Hut, Taco Bell, KFC, a little logos on the back of the trailer because they all belong to PepsiCo. And
they sure do.
Each one of them's always making a deal. And I go to the VA hospital. Well, the VA hospital is Pepsi.
Holy cow.
If you go... Like if you stay in the hospital and you go down the hallway past your ward to get a soft drink, it's a Pepsi machine. And it's only Pepsi. There ain't nothing else in it. So if you want a Coke or a Dr. Pepper or any of those others, you have to wait for the store to open in the basement of the hospitals and go down there. And now they can sell it.
Yeah.
But everything else is Pepsi. So... AP's, which runs the little store, still sells Coke products and Pepsi products, but the hospital itself, every machine and every VA I've been in, Pepsi. So, yeah, it's all about getting a market and then finding a foothold and getting them to become, you know, strictly on your side. You know, hey, we're going to cut you a deal and we're going to put all these machines and we're only going to sell it to the veterans for 50 cents a can as long as you kick Coke out of everything except for the store.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So.
Very cutthroat.
It is. It's
They're territorial, man. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, territorial. it gets bad at times, but it is such a massive market. Oh, my God. Oh,
all over the world. And like I said, Coca-Cola, they were like World War II, man. They were all over Europe. Pepsi couldn't get into that market. That almost sunk them. Yes. And it's funny, those companies will go back and forth. In the 80s, it just came to a head, and it got brutal there for a little while, and it was major news. You could turn on the news, well, you only had three news stations really to look at.
Yeah.
But you look at those, the news, and politics took a back seat, sports took a back seat to these cola wars that was just getting insane, getting brutal, and fights between delivery drivers, because I think that one fight accumulated, because I know you said they deliver on different days, but this had to do after a holiday,
right? But see, they
both showed up at the same time.
It was those fights that led to the separate delivery days. They didn't always have them. That's how.
Yeah, they didn't. Yeah, they didn't need it until it. Yeah,
the fights led them to it. But the whole Pepsi challenge, or the taste test, or whatever you want to say,
that was huge for Pepsi.
Oh, it did wonders for
them. That's what the Pepsi challenge invented. New Coke, if you really think about it, in my opinion.
It pushed Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola had become complacent.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to all companies and the best of us. We become complacent. Yeah. And their sales had become complacent. And Pepsi had somewhat been in their complacency. But they were losing horribly to Coca-Cola. So that's when some brainchild, literally, oh my God, thought of the Pepsi Taste Challenge. And it got the attention of millions. I'm not talking about millions on the East Coast. Millions worldwide. Everywhere. Everybody.
Pepsi blew that up. And now, when you also talk about the 80s, you're talking about the big malls. That was the start of the big malls. Pepsi Challenge was in every freaking mall in America.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always near a Coca-Cola machine or the food court where there was predominantly Coca-Cola product. That was a genius.
Yes.
But not only are we going to do the Pepsi Challenge, we're going to do it right in your face. We're going to do it right in front of you, Coke.
Yeah. I mean, it was no secret. There were no surprises. It was in your face. They pumped it out in the millions. They were on every street corner, especially in every major city. If it was a major city, a university cities, oh my God.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
To hit that Pepsi generation, so they were hitting the college age students, Now, one of the other interesting things that I heard not too long ago was when all of them started doing the freebies, Pepsi once again kicked Coke's ass in that aspect of buy our product and pop the lid off and see what you win, especially with the 20-ounce bottle. That was the 16 and the 20-ounce bottles that the taking the top off, was just another $1 million.
and those were glass bottles.
Yes. Yes.
Those were glass bottles back
and
then.
They had the little rubber seal and you would
tell my son. There. Yeah, it did. I was telling my son that all the bottles used to be glass bottles. And he was like, he couldn't grasp the concept of no plastic bottles. And I said that they were glass.
Yes.
It was all glass. And matter of fact, some places you could take that bottle back and get 10 cents. You know,
oh yeah, yeah. Because when you bought them, they may have only been 20 cents a bottle, but you had a 10 cents deposit, mm-hmm. so it was a 30 cents Coke. But when you brought back that bottle, you got that money back, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, as kids in the 70s, oh my god, we used to run around town when we wanted some extra candy and find every freaking bottle we could find on the side of the road.
You know, bottle hunters.
Oh, man. You bet. Like
treasure hunters.
And literally, I've seen kids during that time frame with the old Red Flyer wagon and the wagon full of bottles. And they were going in and coming out with like bags of candy. It was great for Coca-Cola and Pepsi because then they could just rewash and sterilize that bottle and they didn't have to keep making a ton of glass bottles.
Yeah. Reuse it. So let me ask you this. Did TJ Jolly ever take the Pepsi challenge?
Yes, I did. Towards the
Did you really?
Towards the very, very end of the whole challenge. Mm-hmm. I was in the Air Force at the time, stationed in San Antonio, and a very close friend of mine, like right out of basic training, we met, we became instant friends, and we did everything together. We went everywhere mm-hmm. together. And we went from San Antonio to Austin. Mm-hmm. And we had gone down just to hang out, see what was going on, and have some fun. And so we're on Guadalupe, which, for those of you who don't know Austin, Guadalupe is like the west side of University of Texas campus.
The drag, yeah.
Right, they call it the drag.
And all that stuff down there.
And so, like, even Willie Nelson, one of the very first places he played was on mm-hmm. the drag. You know, the hole in the wall was located mm-hmm. on the drag across from the university. And even the Tower Sniper, you know, takes place right there next to it.
Right over there.
There's Guadalupe. It's the big drag. All the students. Every day, any day, there are hundreds of people on that street. I mean,
now thousands.
Hundreds. Yeah, true. This is true. It is thousands. Yeah. But we had gone up, and we were walking down the road, and this young guy comes over, and he says, "Do you want to take the Pepsi challenge?" And I kind of looked at my friend, and I'm like I really don't know the difference between these two. Mm-hmm. And I'm not a fool, dude, you know. But I was like, mm-hmm. yeah, sure, you know. And so I went over, and I mean, this was really like they had two separate ice chests. Both ice chests were exactly the same. The cups were already pre-poured and sitting in the ice so that you didn't see the bottled. I mean, they're all out secret. You know, mm-hmm. this is a secret mission here, dude. You got to do the taste challenge. And he brings the two cups up. You know, and it has the A and the B and all this. And so, you know, it gives you the cup and says, okay, here's cup A, you know, and you drink a little bit out of it. These are like the old 8-ounce plastic little mm-hmm. heap cups. We've all used them at a party. And so you take a little bit out of it and then you give it back to him. And then he says, okay. And he waits for a second because, you know, he doesn't want it in your mouth. And then he gives you cup B, you know, okay, now this is cup B, you know, and so you drink it down. And then he says, okay, now between A and B, which one do you think you would choose as a refreshing drink on a hot summer afternoon and all this kind of stuff? And I mean, part of it makes you want to laugh. We're talking this is serious, dude. This sounds like the preacher at your sister's wedding. You know, he's being all straight-faced and so on and so forth. And in your mind, you're going, okay, well, cup A's Pepsi, cup B's you know what they are. Mm-hmm. If you live and grew up in the South, you know mm-hmm. what they both taste like. So, you know that he's after the answer for Pepsi. You mm-hmm. know, that's what he's... That's the whole reason we're out here. You're getting this free, two free glasses. You know, and of course, if you want to make it dramatic, you always say, can I try A again? You know? So, You do this whole little, almost like we're doing a little play here on the street, a little theatrics, you know. And then you always say, I think I like A better. Well, that's Pepsi. Did you know you just chose an ice cold Pepsi? You know, in the back of your mind, you're going, of course, dumbass, that's who's paying you to stand out here. Of course, I know which one I'm picking. But yes, I mean, it was serious, though. This was
it was, yeah.
This was big money.
This was huge. It was huge.
But in there, in your mind, you're going, do you really see people that stupid? I mean,
you know,
there's only two here, and we know what the two of them are.
You know, we kind of touched earlier on advertising, and I want to jump back into that. The commercials between the two. Now, we know that Coca-Cola, just with the polar bears, the Christmas theme, just steamroll. Pepsi wouldn't even release a new commercial really for the holidays because they knew that it wasn't going to go anywhere. But do you remember Pepsi did a Super Bowl commercial? And it was the most played commercial, I think, in TV history. And it was the little Italian girl who went up to the counter in that restaurant, and her little sweet voice said, Pepsi, please. And the guy says, okay. And he accidentally gives her a Coke. And then she becomes the mafia godfather.
Hey.
And she goes, hey, come here. Listen, me and you both know. I know. And you know that I asked for a Pepsi, you know. And then the whole restaurant just freezes and they're all scared. And he's shaking as he hands her the Pepsi, and then she drinks it, and she's like, thank you. And yeah. Then the cook blows a bubble from his bubble gum, and it pops, and everybody throws the chairs and the tables over. Funniest thing on the planet. And so Coca-Cola, every time a commercial was released from one of the two, they had to try to outdo each other. And Coca-Cola could not outperform that commercial. So yeah, that girl won. Now later on, Coca-Cola came out with their, when the video games were popular in the early 2000s, Grand Theft Auto, Coca-Cola did their own Grand Theft Auto commercial that was freaking hilarious and insane, because in the video game, the guys are going around, they're wrecking cars, they're robbing liquor stores, they're stealing cars, they're doing all of this. This guy is running around, crashing into cars and stuff, pulling into stores, buying a Coke, buying more Cokes, handing Cokes out to cops and everybody else. But and then Pepsi had a hard time beating that one. That one was played. So yeah, that was that was crazy with those commercials.
But when we talk commercials, we cannot ignore the most widely known commercial in the entire country.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what it is, right?
Educate me.
I'd like to buy the
world. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that.
And keep it company.
Yeah, that commercial right there, that was 1980, I think. That was early on. That was early in the war.
Actually, I think it was.
That one hurt Pepsi a lot.
But I think it was actually in the 70s going.
Late 70s, wasn't it? Because that's what promoted, that's what triggered Pepsi to do the new generation. Because that song was triggered more to your baby boomers, your older generation, your nostalgia type of thing. And it was a beautifully written song. It was beautifully designed. It was just that, you know, people were looking to buy that just to keep in their own private music collection.
Oh, yeah.
That's how good that song was. And then Pepsi said, you know what, we have to do something. And then they started that, right after that, they started that new generation, people sailboating, playing. They wanted to target the younger group because Coca-Cola was still living in the past. We're going to go to the future. We're going to create a new generation, a Pepsi generation. Yeah. Get Michael Jackson, get all these stars. So yeah, that song right there was, I think it even made the Billboard top 10.
I think so. And it's and it is the most widely recognized commercial in the world.
Yeah.
Like in
yeah,
the
that was in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Everybody knows. You can just play the music. You don't even have to sing those songs. And
people but you will
hum.
Sing it.
Yes.
You will sing it.
People you hum before they even realize what they're doing. You know, they'll hum, dun, 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 and then they're like.
And that's the deal.
That's the Coke song.
You can. You can go out today. I mean, and even back then, if you hum that song, that was the earworm from hell. If you went to a crowded mall, if you went somewhere and you started humming that song or whistling it, before the day's end, there'd be 40 or 50 people minimum humming that song.
I worked in the mall in the 70s. I could go to the opposite end of the mall and hum it. And before I could get back to my store to go back to work, the people in my store are singing it. And I'm going, oh, somebody heard it way down there, and it's already come all the way back down because everybody knew it. You know,
yeah, that song was huge.
Yeah.
And it was. Pepsi couldn't do anything about it.
Well, and, you know, Coke was smart. Not only did they come up with the writer to do the song, but they come up with all of these people. We're talking black, white, yellow, green, plural. There wasn't a color, race, whatever missing in that commercial. And they had bottles from all over the world. You know, they had Coke bottles from Japan and India and China in the commercial. So it was designed for the world to come together. And it did it. And it was a phenomenal thing. And like I said, it and you just segued right into it because you're talking about that. And I'm going, wait a minute. We can't forget the most popular, crazy soda war song ever done.
Ever. Yeah.
Without, you know, we can't have this conversation without saying, oh, hey, wait a minute. We got to go that direction.
You can't with that one. But yeah, that whole time during the 80s, with all the, it was probably, I think that decade produced more hit movies than any other decade. There was so much going on in the 80s. It was incredible. But the Cola Wars, they just stand out because it was such a big thing. And hopefully, you know, the people that listen to this show, they'll look at their soda a little bit different when you order that soda and go, you know how much, you have no clue on how much history is behind that thing that you're drinking right now.
So you're talking about movies in the 80s, okay? Mm-hmm. You ever see that movie where there was like this kid and he ended up in a DeLorean time machine and all that?
Back in time. You've
kind of heard of that movie, right?
Yeah, that was it, Back to the Future.
Yeah, you know. So this kid ends up back in the 50s, and he's not from the 50s. He's from the 80s, you know. And he gets up off the floor, and he looks at the guy behind the counter, and he goes, what'll it be? And he said, I need a Pepsi Free. And the guy said, I'll give you a Pepsi, but you're paying for it.
Yeah, you're paying. It's not going to be free.
Okay, 1,000 young people have no fucking clue. Oh, pardon my language. They have no clue what that means because that was a drink in the 80s.
It was.
That was one of the few Pepsi products in my entire life. There was only two. Mm-hmm. Only two Pepsi products in my entire life I drank and somewhat enjoyed, and that was Pepsi Light and Pepsi Free. That was the
Pepsi Free brought on Joe Cola. That was the one that brought on Joe Cola, which was the anti-diet soda. It was just the opposite. It had twice of everything in it. And you could go to school wired out of your brains after drinking Joe Cola. Kids were showing up to school it's so funny. You see these people like drinking Monster, they drinking these, Red Bull and stuff like that. Dude, we had our own Red Bull and it was called Joe Cola.
Yeah, I think at one time there was a discussion to put heart attack warnings on the cans, you know, because if somebody over 50 drank one of them, they were going to run the risk of having a heart attack. That did some damage.
Whew, that stuff would get you going, man.
I used to see people drink two of those in a day and see them a week later, and they'd say, I'm going to go to sleep one of these days. I really am. They hadn't been sleeping a week. But,
wow.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of good. And, you know, the sad part about it is when we talk Cola Wars, we say Pepsi and Coke. Mm-hmm. They've always been controllers of the market. But there's RC Cola, which I didn't know until recently that when Keurig, the coffee maker, bought Dr. Pepper, they bought RC Cola too.
Oh, they did. They did. Yes. Yeah.
So RC Cola and Dr. Pepper are under the same family name now of Keurig. And when I was young, my dad was a school teacher, and there were six of us kids. So money wasn't like floating around and growing on trees. And so for a while, I remember drinking Cragmont Cola or Shasta Cola. And Cragmont was literally part of the Safeway brand. It was like their generic. And of course, Shasta actually had a pretty good sized market back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. But of course, Coca-Cola and Pepsi just overshadowed them or bought them. <You know, laughs> they made them disappear, or they went after them and bought them. Because they were like, no, we have enough competition between the two of us. We don't need a whole bunch more of you.
Well, you know what? I tell you what, I had a lot of fun today. That, you know, it brings back a lot of memories. And when you think about that, when you, because I still do. If I go to the store and I buy a Coke, yeah, I still don't buy Pepsi. You know, every once in a while I do, because my sister-in-law was a Pepsi freak. And every once in a while I will drink a Pepsi. But back in the 80s, oh no, if you drank a Pepsi, man, that you were out of the club, man. You just don't do that. So and so, yeah, I still think about that, and it's so much fun to rehash those memories. But it was Americana at its best. It was, I mean, that Cold War between those two companies was so intense, and it came to such a head that you're talking physical violence, you're talking about espionage, you're talking about spies, and I mean, it got nasty there for a while, and somewhat still is, you just don't hear about it, but in the 80s, man, that was crazy back then. I mean, your news would come on, and you wouldn't hear too much about what the president did that day. It was the war between the colas and, you know, stocks, and, you know, the stocks went up on Coca-Cola today. Pepsi will retaliate with.
Brand was everything. And it still is. It's who you are. And to this day, I still see people look at each other and go, you drink Pepsi? I mean, it's like a disgust in their
brain. It is. It's no big deal to the younger kids now. Or kid, or even my kids, it wasn't a big deal to them. They would go and drink a Pepsi. One would drink a Pepsi, another drink a Coke. And I would look at both of my kids, and one's a Pepsi, one's a Coke. And I said, you have no idea that when I was your age, that would never happen. What you're doing right now would get my ass kicked.
Yeah, no joke.
You just did not do that.
No. Hey, Rich, let me tell you, it's been a pleasure. Always, just catching up and talking about the stuff that we love to talk about anyway, and especially bringing back some of the memories down memory lane. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled that you got your show. I heard the episode with Leary Rebus, another friend, on it, and oh my God, I laughed until I almost wet myself.
That was a crazy one right there.
And I'm super excited for you. And I'm also super excited to have been invited on to be a part of it. And I look forward to the roads ahead. And
definitely.
As usual, keep in touch, keep up to date. That's what we do.
That's what we do. All right, my friend. I appreciate you coming on, and because you know, you knew a lot about this subject, and I needed somebody to come along to to educate everybody and have some fun and have a few laughs. That's what this is all about. So, you know, I just wanted everybody to listen to the show, that listened to it, just to take a break. There's a lot going on in the world today. So take a little break, take a deep breath, have a laugh on us, you know, have a laugh on the Rich Neal Show. So it was great seeing you. It's great talking to you. And we'll circle back around at a later date and we'll do it again.
Sounds great, Rich. Be good.
Hang All right, there. Sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you're ever in the Silver Spring, Maryland area and wish to become a member of the Rich Neal Podcast live studio audience, just go to www.thereisnostudioaudiencebecauseitsapodcast.com. That's www.thereisnostudioaudiencebecauseitsapodcast.com.